Amen. You may be seated. Taking our Bibles, let's turn once more to the book of 1 John. First John chapter 2. And this week we're looking at verses 12 to 14. And I've entitled the message this morning, Encouragement for the Church. Encouragement for the Church. That would be you, the church. Do y'all need encouragement? Yes, sir. Amen. Week by week, right? Day by day, moment by moment, we need encouragement. If you notice in your copy of God's Word, your verses here might be in a different format. That is to signify here that this is a little bit poetic. It's maybe if you're not into poetry, maybe you like songs and rhyme or verse. It's a little bit different here. And so as we look at these verses, we're going to pluck out the main ideas or the main theme, but they're going to be repeated. They're going to be stated over and over, just like in a song, we do the bridge over and over, the chorus. We repeat that chorus for emphasis. So it's similar in that way. But the whole idea behind what he's writing in these verses here is to encourage us, to encourage the church. And so let's look at these three verses. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. I am writing to you, little children. I am writing to you, fathers. I am writing to you, young men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you allow us to gather under the preaching of your word. And I pray, Lord, this message would be received with great encouragement. For you love and care for your people. We pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would bring this message to bear on each one where they're at, that you would minister unto them and meet their needs. We ask and pray in your name. Amen. So as we've been through our study here in the past several weeks, in particularly in 1 John chapter 2, we've looked at what it means to say that you're a Christian, to say that you are a part of the Church of Christ, and to be living out that truth. We have considered these exams, these examinations that each of us needs to take in order to consider, are we truly of the faith? Do we have the evidences, the fruit by which we can be seen that we have eternal life, that we are converted believers? We've considered how if we claim to follow Jesus, we ought to be obedient to his commands. We should walk as he did. We should obey his command to love one another as he loved the church. To say that we love God, but to live in disobedience and rebellion is to walk in darkness. That would be living a lie. God's truth is not in that. Likewise, to say that we love God while hating our brother is to walk in darkness. There needs to be a change. There needs to be new direction, a new consistency with serving God, living for Christ, loving your brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean that we're perfect or that we follow Jesus perfectly. When we sin, there is forgiveness, and Jesus is our advocate. Nevertheless, it's good and healthy for us to consider our manner of living. Are we truly following after Jesus? And if so, we are to be grateful and content to know that we are in Christ. We can enjoy assurance of faith. But for those of us who've been a Christian for more than 5 minutes, we can attest that living out our faith can be challenging. And we all need encouragement. We all need to be encouraged as we make our journey through this fallen world. And the church faces many battles from without, but also from within. False teaching, philosophies, ideologies have all threatened the church. Here, and as John is writing to this church, some had already left the faith. Some had left the church. Some who had left claimed that they were now the true church. And so the churches that John is writing to were hurting churches. And so while balancing the rigorous truth by which we must examine and hold on to, John's also encouraging, desiring to strengthen the local church. And today, as we look at how he goes about this aspect, we're going to see that in these few verses here, we find him addressing children, fathers, and young men. And I want for us to understand that these are not specific age groups or direct familial relationships that John has in mind, but he is addressing the whole church, the church as a whole, and then in particular groups within the church. So he begins in verse 12, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." So John returns here to this familiar pastoral tone, a fatherly tone. He's not being condescending to them. He's not speaking down to them as if they're acting like little kids. But also this is meant to be understood that he's not addressing a particular age group of children, you know, like if, as if they're 0 to 11 years of age, so to speak. Rather, this is the language of an elder speaking to the church as a whole, the children of God, those who are saved and adopted into the family of God. And so he's speaking as a loving and caring father. The whole church needs to be encouraged. And so he wants for them to examine their hearts, examine their minds, examine how they're living out the faith. These tests of true faith are real. They're genuine exams that they need to undergo. It's a sobering test. And sometimes when we take a hard test, we might be worried about our grade, so to speak. What does the outcome of the test really say about me? What does it say about my performance? Life is hard, and maybe I'm not cutting it. And so how does John then encourage this beleaguered church? Well, he reminds them of the truth of their faith, their salvation, that they are children of God, that they are of the faith. Because, as he says, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the faith because your sins are forgiven. That's the reality. That's the fact. Not because you filled out a card. Not because you walked an aisle. Not because you repeated a prayer after me. Not because you were baptized as an infant. Or et cetera, et cetera. You're forgiven. Not because of the good works or the good living that you're doing. No. You've come to faith by grace. And you've been reconciled to God through His mercy and love. And so, church, be encouraged. Your sins are forgiven. That is a word of encouragement. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. You are a blessed man, a blessed woman, a blessed young man, a blessed young woman. You, the church of the living God, you are blessed. Why? Romans 4. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. We are blessed because God has forgiven us our sins. Church, your sins are forgiven. Take courage. Be encouraged. Let us also be reminded that faith is not by works, but by grace alone. We don't dare take the credit. God is gracious and merciful. He did not owe us anything. And to drive that point home, John adds, your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. See, we are forgiven solely on the basis of what God has promised. It's His name. It's His character. It's His promise. We are forgiven because of who Jesus is and what He accomplished on our behalf at the cross. Jesus is Lord. He is our God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's His name. That's who He is. And we are saved on that basis. Not anything within us. Not anything that we could do or bring to the table. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. And so, church, be encouraged. If you've been saved, if you are born again, then you are God's child. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord. You are blessed. Bless the Lord. Be encouraged. Be thankful. You know, it's like when you take a hard exam and it's brutal and you know you didn't ace it. In fact, you're kind of worried that you flunked it. But then the teacher comes up behind you and says, "You're forgiven." But I flunked the test. I failed the test. If you're God's child, it's not a matter of the result of your test. You are forgiven. You're accepted. You're His child. That's good news. That is so encouraging. Because I don't know about you, but there are times when I don't feel like I'm saved. There are times when I'm in sin and I don't feel close to God. And you don't have that assurance. And you don't have that closeness. And you do wonder. You do doubt. Be reminded. Be encouraged. You are God's child. And you have been forgiven. It's not based on the merit of your efforts. It's based on His name, on what He did on our behalf. Amen. Now then, John has encouraged the church as a whole. He now moves to speak to particular subgroups within the church. And he begins to address the fathers in verse 13. He says, "I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning." Again, he's not limiting this message to those who have fathered children. Rather, he wants here to speak to those who are fathers in the faith. Naturally, these would be those who are more mature, who have greater knowledge and experience in the things of God. Those who would be leading and developing, mentoring, discipling those that are younger in the faith. And so his brief word of encouragement to them is, you know Him who is from the beginning. Those who have been walking in the faith for more time, they realize that God is the God of the Scriptures, that He is the Alpha and Omega. John would eventually pen the book of Revelation where he records the words of Jesus saying, "I am the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Still, mature believers would have been instructed and understood that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the messianic prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah 41:4, "Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, Yahweh, the first and with the last, I am He." And also in Isaiah 44, "Thus says Yahweh, the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God." Those who are older in the faith would have been taught, they would have been instructed in sound doctrine. They would have had more experiencing walking with God and deepening their relationship with Him. They would have remembered from how at the beginning the gospel had come to them in power and in word. Remember, John and the apostles would have instructed them because they were eyewitnesses. 1 John 1:1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life." So you see, the fathers in the faith, they would have been the ones who were walking by faith and not by sight. So John wrote to encourage them on. You know him. You know Jesus. You know the one who we instructed you and taught you and brought the word and the gospel to you. And as verse 13 continues, John writes next to the young men. But before we consider that, John returns in a poetic way to reinforce his message. He returns to sprinkle on a little more encouragement to the fathers in verse 14. And so he says again, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. Again, reiterating that truth for emphasis. You know the Lord. You know Yahweh. You know the Lord Jesus. You know the author, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Sometimes we who are older in the faith, we need to be encouraged to go back to the basics, to keep looking to Jesus, to keep our focus on him. We need that exhortation to refocus and deepen our relationship and spend more time with the Lord. Now we turn to John's message to those who are younger in the faith, the young men. So back to verse 13. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. He encourages young believers by reminding them that they are victorious over the evil one. It's pretty easy for someone who's young in the faith to begin doubting the faith. Maybe this isn't true. Maybe this isn't real. Maybe I'm just imagining this. The enemy comes and he tries to attack. He tries to distract. He tries to persuade them away from the faith. But John encourages them, you've overcome the evil one. They had not fallen away from Christ. They had not left the church. They have not loved the world. They have not loved darkness. This is good. This is to be celebrated. Life might be hard. You're learning. You're growing. Maybe there's challenges to your faith. Maybe there's interpersonal challenges. Maybe you're being alienated from your peer group. Maybe your circle of friends is ousting you, kicking you out. It might not be easy, but remember, you are an overcomer. You're a conqueror. How? It's because of your faith. In 1 John 5, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's your victory. That's how you win. We have this victory because we are in Christ. But maybe you don't feel like you're victorious. Maybe you don't feel like you're overcoming the enemy. Well, it may be that you're trying to do this on your own, in your own strength or in your own ability. So John gently encourages the young ones again. Verse 14, I write to young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the evil one. You are strong, young ones. Why? Because you go to the gym 3 times a week? Lift weights, run treadmills? No. Because you use your prayer hands emojis from time to time? No. Because you heard God's word once upon a time? No. Because you managed to hear scripture read in church from time to time when you attend church? No. Why does he say they're strong? You who are young in the faith, why are you strong? You are strong because Jesus, the Word of God, abides in you by His Spirit. And the best way to continue to empower yourself is to feed upon the very Word of God. Read your Bible and pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. And you will what? You will grow. Grow, grow. You will grow. Grow, grow. Read your Bible. Pray every day and you will grow. That's a simple, simple song for children. But for those who desire to grow stronger in the Lord, it is profound. It is profound. This is how God's word abides in those who are strong in the Lord. It was the theme of our vacation Bible study school a few years ago. The armor of God. How do we stay strong? How do we defend ourselves from the enemy? How do we overcome? Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. That's how you grow. Some of us, we're weary. We're tired of this battle. We're tired of this fight. We want this race to be over. And John would tell you, you are strong. You can do this, but not in your strength, not in your power, not in your might, but only in the power and strength of Almighty God. And so, returning to once again, sprinkle more of that encouragement at the end of verse 13. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. You know the Father. We need to remember that. We know the Father, and the Father knows us and cares for us. It's so important. The people of faith know God the Father. We are no longer alienated from Him because of our sins. No, our sins are forgiven. Jesus came to this earth and He bore our sins on the cross. He died in our place. And was raised to life on the third day so that we could be reconciled to God. Now people make the mistake thinking that if they join the church, or if they're part of this or that religion or denomination, then they're good to go. Some people think that they're Christians because they are born in the United States. Some people believe that they know God because they are Jewish. Jesus dispensed with all these wrong ideas. In John chapter 8, the people argued, hey, we're Abraham's children. Jesus said, if that were so, you'd be doing the works of Abraham. Well, they didn't double down, and they said, they claimed that God was their father. And here's how Jesus replied. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. And so we do have to examine ourselves. Is our will to do the will of Satan or the Father? We have to examine ourselves. But even for the youngest believer, be encouraged. Your sins are forgiven. You are strong. You have overcome the devil because Christ, God's word, abides in you. And if that's the truth, you are a child of God. And you have overcome the world. Believers who have come to saving faith have been reconciled. We've been reconciled by Jesus through his blood on the cross. We are at peace with God. And so, be encouraged. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? And if you not have yet received faith, then I implore you, be reconciled to God. Even now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. This word of encouragement to the church. We thank you for your love, mercy, and grace that you've bestowed on us that we do not deserve. And in your kindness, you loved us and sent your Son to save us, to make peace with you, so that we know you and you know us. As you first loved us, so now we love you. And we are so grateful and so thankful. And maybe, Lord, at times some of us may not feel like we're doing well spiritually. But remind us that we are victorious because of your Son. And remind us to feed upon you, to feed upon your Son. Thank you for encouraging us with this word this morning. We give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen.